You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Oh my God, I got to speak really fast because we have a ton to get to tonight here at Hendox and another edition of the Massive Report brought to you by 180 Property Development. And we thank them for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. I hope you guys are stretched out and ready because we got a lot to get to. Mike Crosby, Krosky. See, now I've slowed everything down by putting you in Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We got Bart Logan. We got Sam Fahmy. I'm Brian Phillips from CD1025. And we had breaking news as I was in the car running everywhere this afternoon. I see on our little chat that we have that Jossi Zardes has a new contract, and it affects Higuain and Tam and Gam and Wham. And when you start talking about designated dollars, my eyes are going to roll into the back of my head. So I'm hoping you guys can explain it in such a way that it makes sense.
We should clarify that Zardes' contract does not affect Higuain's contract. They're just,
okay,
they just two came out
confused.
At the same time.
Okay.
They both came
Fair
out
enough.
At the same time.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll break it into two then. I only saw the headline. I have no idea what's going on. Somebody's going to have to explain this to me, please.
Imagine you are playing Monopoly, Brian, and you have control of all the money, and you can just make the rules whenever you want and change them whenever you want.
That's how I play Monopoly against my kids when they were growing up. It was the only way I could win.
We'll let the experts.
I landed on free parking. All the money is mine.
Well, you know, when it comes to Tam and Gam and all the AMs, I really don't understand half of it.
All right, you know what? Let's just take all that crap and throw it out there on High Street. Let's just do one guy and then the other. Jossi Zardes, how does his situation change?
So now he's just a designated player.
Okay.
Okay, so he bumps up. But actually, if
he gets paid more.
He gets paid more.
He actually
but
gets paid more.
On the actual salary cap, correct me if I'm wrong, it actually goes down and frees up a little bit of money for
okay,
the group.
Good. Mm-hmm.
That I'm not sure about. But I know that he does actually, in fact, get paid more.
Which
does
is
his,
good for him.
Does his term with the crew extend at all?
Yes. Yeah, it's a multi-year extension.
Usually, okay. Yeah, most of those extensions are usually 2 years with a third-year team/player option.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, almost all contract renewals are always going to be a two-year deal.
So, despite his struggles this year, this tells us that the club is happy with his play, and I think more than that, optimistic about his prospects going forward, correct?
Yeah, I think that definitely. And I think it also tells us, you know, shows a little bit of the hand of what this team may or may not be doing in the summer, and that would be targeting a striker. I don't think you, especially in a system that Caleb Porter has shown throughout his career, to go with that one striker up top, I don't see them really spending and splashing on a striker. But it also shows that, yes, they think Jossi Zardes, you saw Tim Bezbachenko's comment, you know, looking at Zardes as one of the premier American strikers, you know, nationwide, and paying him accordingly, and still not that bad money for a striker who's been productive throughout his tenure with the crew, even if this year the goals aren't quite coming yet.
I don't think they target a striker specifically. Maybe they target a backup for Jossi Zardes, because why would you pay somebody DP money and then turn around and buy somebody
exactly.
else to replace
exactly.
him?
Exactly, but it's
so they're going to seek help, mm-hmm. but I don't think they target specifically like a starting striker.
And I wonder if that means, you know, do they look at it, where you're looking at places to upgrade? They also upgraded, and we'll, you know, talk about that a little bit more, but the David Akam move last week. But then do they also look at, as Frederico Higuain's contract was restructured, I don't think you're looking to pick up a guy who can replace Frederico Higuain during the summer. But, boy, I'd like to find somebody that you could slot in behind him to replace him long term.
All right, so how is his situation different right now than it was yesterday?
It's not really outside of the. Okay, it's not really outside of the sense that he looks like, from an MLS standpoint, he's making less money on the cap,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
but he's still bringing in the same check he was bringing in before. What I'd like to see him do is bring somebody who, because we don't have anything close to a replacement for him if he gets hurt, mm-hmm. if he needs rest, which is why in this past weekend's game we had to go to a 4-3-3 because we don't have anybody that can fill that role. Can we get somebody that has the versatility to play that role, and then when Higuain is in, can they play elsewhere? I think somebody with that kind of flexibility is important.
So from what I'm getting from you guys is that would be more important than finding a backup striker at this point. I mean, to the Crew's mind, Zardes is the guy. It'd be great if we could upgrade somebody coming off the bench. I don't think we know as much about Mullins. We got the kid from Kentucky who's out on loan. So maybe they feel like that in actuality the answer to that question is already in-house. So
in the great scheme of things, you have – well, right now you only have two DP players on the roster, which is Pedro and Giassi. Technically, Milton Valenzuela is also a DP, but he's on the IR, so that doesn't count. So
more acronyms.
If they do target a replacement for Higuain during the summer, and it is a DP level player, then they got to be really creative with how they structure somebody in order to buy them down with. And this is where the difference between general allocation money and targeted allocation money comes in. Is that targeted allocation money is specifically for to buy down a player such as Higuain, and this team has done well in managing that Tam and Gam because it used to be Bezbachenko's job to manage that for the entire league.
Two guys in the league know how to do that better than him, if anybody.
Tam and Gam sounds like a teen pop duo from Sweden or something.
Tam and Gam.
Tom and Gam. Well, that's what I think.
Here's the thing. And again, I don't want to compare everything Porter does to what he did in Portland, but they had Adi as a DP, but also spent a decent amount of change on Urruti, Maximo Urruti. And he kind of would start one, sub the other one in. Start one, sub the other one in. So whoever was hot. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities for them to find somebody who's relatively expensive but doesn't necessarily have to be a DP. Because here's the thing. If Jossie goes down or when he's away at Gold Cup or national team duty, what the hell do we do? Do we have – clearly he doesn't have faith in J.J. Williams or Patrick Mullins. So what do we play? Nobody up there? I mean, either that or they have to change the formation.
Mm-hmm. I think one guy who could potentially get a look there is David Akam, the new addition, who did play some time there. We saw him a little bit there in Chicago back in the day. But I also think you need to spend DP money on a Frederico Higuain replacement. That's just, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. You do not get
productive
number 10s. That's true, regardless, but you're going to have to spend that money somewhere. One of those slots is going to need to go to Frederico Higuain's heir apparent.
All right. So we have that. We have the Zardes and Higuain news. That's big enough, but we have new players to talk about. And fortunately, we have them in game action to review their play so far and see how they fit in going forward. It was LAFC on Saturday, the 3-0 loss. It was LA Galaxy last Wednesday, the great 3-1 win, where we were all like, where's this team been? Let's get to FC first, and I will preface this by saying that I was commenting last week that the league did us a disservice by scheduling both LA teams back-to-back because casual fans don't know that there's two teams in LA. So I'm sitting next to my wife. We're watching the game on TV on Saturday. And she was noting that the play was a great deal more physical than it had been on Wednesday. And she wondered what the difference was. Here we have the same two teams playing. Why is it so much more physical now? And my wife is way smarter than I. It's just, you know, she has a real job. And she doesn't have time to keep track of all this arcane stuff.
Oh,
like,
she's not a podcaster? You're saying podcasting isn't a real job?
No. There's nothing in my life that's a real job and everything in her work life that's a real job. It's not her responsibility to keep up with this. Right. So not only do we have these two teams back-to-back that are a great draw for road teams, but they're not going to be here for another 2 years. And it's just sitting not more than 2 feet away from me. She says, oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
You know, and why should she? That's on the league, you know? So it's goofy, but it was enjoyable having him here. It felt like the LAFC game was one of those matches where if you only knew the final score, you didn't know any of the story. Again, finishing was a problem, but I really saw a lot of encouraging things in there because I enjoyed very much watching the new players. Guzman, when you see him play, you immediately know why it was they had to bring him in. You go, oh, that's that solid. I mean, he's built like a brick shit house.
Yep.
You know, he's so solid, and yet he's athletic too. We haven't had that presence. Talk about his play in the last two games, and certainly with a starting assignment on Saturday, which saw him having to transition mid-game.
Yeah, I mean, so when it comes to LAFC, we had essentially three holding mids playing, right? So the idea with Porter, his idea was, let's give Higuain the first half off, because again, he's 34 years old, playing three games in 8 days, give him a break. So having Trapp, Artur, and Guzman all there. Guzman was actually more in the attacking role of the three, but still very defensive-oriented, and rightfully so, given the L.A. powerful, how powerful their attack is.
Yeah.
But, you know, he brought a presence, he brought a physicality, and he also showed the ability on the ball. I mean, he was switching the ball a lot, he was receiving and sending the ball with good through passes and things like that. So I think we saw just a little bit of what he can do. I also thought even his debut when he came on as a sub in L.A., he won every ball in the – I think he came in, what, like the 65th minute, something like that. And immediately – I think the first time the ball came near, he won a 50-50 battle. And it's like, okay, this is what we brought him in for. So I think as he gets more acclimated, you're going to see more of that bite, more of that presence. And that's really good for the crew because we need it.
And you also saw them, this is a team playing a new system that I'm sure they played it a little bit, you know, in practice throughout. They practice prepared for this, but you can't really prepare for LAFC. You just have to go out there. You can't simulate Bea or you know, just all the weapons that they have out there. So rolling that 4-3-3 for the first time, when this team is built and runs, when it's running well through Frederico Higuain and saying, you got to reverse engineer and find something else to work. They weathered the storm for a while. LAFC was going to get their chances, and they did. I think there's Guzman looks strong, and again, everything Costa Rican international, you know, it's everything you want, and it's just that great insurance too, I think, for, you know, a future, short-term future that may not have Will Trapp in the plans either. So, you know, now that you add Guzman, who can give you that depth that and that presence off the bench that I think you wanted in Ricardo Clark, but you just, Ricardo Clark, he's getting up there. And to add that skill set from David Guzman, that bulldog into the midfield, I think that was invaluable. And he's got some time to go, but I like it.
I think he needs to start. Am I out of line here? I want him in the starting 11.
Hey,
I think he's Guzman. I think he's a difference maker.
Well, once Higuain came back, I think you saw what the starting 11 is going to be.
Okay.
I think it is going to be Artur. We talked about that last week. He's kind of the odd man out, very likely anyway. You know, when it comes to Porter, his thought after the game was, hey, first 85 minutes, mm-hmm. I was proud of these guys. We were, you know, going toe-to-toe with the Man City of MLS, is the quote that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right that, unfortunately, if you just look at the scoreline, which I'm not making excuses for the crew, I'm just trying to be accurate, it's not indicative to how the game was played. I mean, that second goal was just bogus.
It was just silly.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
And then the third game clearly, the third goal, they threw in the towel at that point. And,
well, so did I. I walked away. I stopped away from my TV in disgust after that second goal because it was so goofy. So, and my wife was like, that whatever LA team we were talking about scored a third goal. Like,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
It was a great goal.
Yeah. I mean,
what are you going to do? And, you know, it was the biggest crowd of the season. It's too bad that the crew couldn't even get one in the back of the net. I mean, we had one, but it was taken away on an accurate offside call. But, you know, you had 18,000 plus, more so than even the opening game of the season. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of them were there to see Carlos Vela.
Mm-hmm. Great that obviously you want Stefan to start every game. But knowing what's coming, it was good minutes for Bendik to get. I felt like for the most part he was great. When What's-His-Face tried to take the ball out of his hand coming in with his boot, which he should have been a yellow carded for that.
100%.
That was ridiculous. But, you know, he dealt with him. He threw him to the ground.
Yeah, he did, as he should. That's what you should do to catch
Jerry
kind of stuff. Well, you know, and here's the deal. I thought Bendik on that single was to blame. I mean, he came out way too aggressively. The ball wasn't going to reach the box by the time he got there.
Right.
Trust Mensa. He's giant. He wins everything in the air.
Yeah.
Trust him to get there. I don't know what Bendik was thinking. I think a little bit of nerves. You know, and in the locker room after the game, he was on his phone watching that play over and over and over again just to try and see, like, what could we have done differently.
I don't think that was a shot. I think he was just trying to play it to the back post.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was talking about the second
one. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, but the first one was.
Yeah, I think he was trying to lay that one off, and then it just kind of died.
Here's the funny thing. Is that Mark Anthony Kay? Mm-hmm. He absolutely is going to say, no, I was going for a shot. 100% nonsense. He was trying to pass
right,
it.
Yeah. It was the right play. Well, he had a back close runner.
Direct trying to just leave it out there for someone.
There were some defensive breakdowns. No question about it.
I think it's good because there's been a tendency. I think there would also be a tendency from Crew fans who maybe, you know, just saw that score line and saw the starting 11 and said, well, there it is, Bendick, the problem, you know, this is, we're all, and he wasn't. He was good. You know, that second goal, the second goal was
I don't know about
all
good.
Out of sorts.
Adequate.
He made some big time saves, though.
He was
he
adequate.
Made some good saves, 5 saves on the night. This is an LA team that had 20 shots. I mean, it was dominant. He made some good saves. He was, okay, maybe not good, but replacement level. You can get by. The 3-0 scoreline is not indicative of his performance.
Well, that's what people are going to say.
Hold on. Yeah. Part of the problem, too, is that his first start for the Crew
was also
a 3-0 loss against Philadelphia. So I don't want to say you're seeing a pattern, but was he better than that start? Yes, he was better than that start.
Yeah.
Is he adequate as a backup for Zach Steffen? I don't think so.
I'll counter that. He's a serviceable MLS keeper. Is he Zach Steffen? No. But there's not a Zach Steffen store where you can go and go, hey, can I get a Zach Steffen off a layaway? That's not how it works. I mean, but Joe Bendick is a serviceable player in this league. Once he gets more of a communication and more of a rhythm with those defenders, we're going to see a better version of him.
What did you say? He's a serviceable player in this league.
Yes.
Is he a serviceable player on this system, the way this team plays?
Sure. Yeah.
No.
Why?
I disagree.
Why?
He's not there. He doesn't have the reflexes that – and I'm not saying, like, you have to get a Zach Steffen. We'll say even take, like, a Will Hesper or a Andy Grunebaum. I would take either one of those almost at their current age than I would take Joe Bendick. And that's nothing against Joe. It's just how this team plays.
It sounds
and
like
how
a
the
lot
goalkeeper,
Joe.
No, it's how – it's how it's
Will
how
Hesper,
the keeper
CPA
right. It's how Crew keepers play in Crew system, and that doesn't fit every goalkeeper. A goalkeeper could be really good. And, you know, you kind of saw the same thing with Steve Clark. Is Steve Clark can be a fantastic shot stopper, but he makes some questionable decisions with his feet. And you have the opposite with
that. I remember
you have not even the opposite. You have a combined of good reflexes and good footwork in Zach Steffen. It's hard to get another Zach Steffen. You're right. There's no Zach Steffen store. But is Bendick the guy that can fit in this team, in this playing style, having that? You know, is he a serviceable backup? Absolutely. Is he a serviceable starter? I don't think so.
I think for what.
I'll hang up and listen.
That's fine. for the cards that the Crew were dealt, I think he's an adequate. I'm not saying he's going to be the keeper for the next 5 years, but I think he's a guy who can be the starter down the stretch run if they're not able to find somebody better. Of course, you're always looking to improve.
You don't have a choice at that point, though.
No, I know, but I think he's getting dumped on far too much by people who just see score lines and don't actually know what goalkeeping is. I'm not saying you.
That,
I'm talking about the casual
that
fan.
I will agree with.
And that's getting
nauseating. That I will agree with. Yes.
I don't think we've seen enough of him to really judge him. Let me ask you this, and we'll leave this here. What is harder to find, a striker or a goalkeeper?
That's a great question.
I don't even know the answer to my own question. That's why I'm asking, because it seems like that's the hardest thing to find, those two positions.
I think, you know, strikers, that's what every team's looking for. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can go to high school, to college. I mean, that's what every coach is looking for. Goalkeepers, the thing is, if you don't develop one, you're getting them off like the clearance bin, right? You're either getting a guy who's old and becomes expendable because a younger pair of keepers are coming up, or a really young guy who hasn't shown what they can do yet. And really, that's how we got Steffen.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's perfectly correct. Is that it's, I think strikers are harder because they're their prime years are so short. Mm-hmm. But you have goalies that can play into their 40s and still be really, really good.
Sure.
And so, some of them are late bloomers.
Take that for what it is. Some of them are late.
That's
true.
That's the thing that's interesting about Stefan is that he's at a pretty high level already, and most keepers really don't even hit their prime until late 20s, early 30s.
Well,
he's only, what, 23?
Yeah. They were talking about LAFC's goalie. The name is
Tyler Miller.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I caught some snippets of discussion during the telecast where they indicated that, you know, he had been kicking around. And now he's statistically right on the top of the heap in the league.
Look at Tim Miella from Kansas City. He was a backup at Chivas, for God's sakes. Okay? Yeah. And now he's been one of the best keepers in the league for, what, 3 years?
Chivas lives.
Yeah.
Chivas lives.
Oh, God, no.
All right. Well, okay.
So, sorry, Bart, where are you going
to say? Oh, no. You look at, I think, to the point in where I would say I think your best bet is hoping to develop, and you've seen the crew try to do that through these past two drafts, too, because you're drafting goaltenders or goalkeepers. And I think for crew, that's at least that's your best bet long term, is to hope you find that next Zach Steffen. And you know, to their credit, that this franchise has had a good history of that. You
Absolutely.
Look at the goalkeepers that they've produced and largely produced in-house, or at least, you know, gotten them before they were a known quantity. So I don't really want this team looking for, you know, a known quantity at that goalkeeper position for a long-term replacement. I think that money is better served with a striker, because I think with goalkeeper, you know, if an aging guy, if to get Tim Howard or to get, you know, Guzan or somebody, you know, off. But that's what you're paying for one of those, or you're paying for a crapshoot. You know, just
it also depends
dice.
On where you are on the table. When we're coming up on the time for Zach Steffen to leave, and where you are realistically,
exactly.
Do you have a run in you or not? You know, and then maybe you think about where you're going to put your money.
Quick show of vocal hands: would you take Tim Howard?
No,
I would not.
Colorado would probably want to trade him, but this is it for him, right?
Yeah, he's retiring.
No.
I might take him for a. You know, for the end of the year, and in a potential playoff run, if you can get Tim Howard and get him, you know, I don't know, psyched out and ready to go for a tournament, I think you could do a lot worse with him. You know, if it's between Tim Howard and Bendick for the rest of the season, I wouldn't mind giving Tim Howard a look. I wouldn't want him starting next year.
Now I'm arguing with myself, because I look at the East, and the East is what the West was. Mm-hmm. And the top to bottom, the East is kind of flat. And it's out West where you have the top-heavy look.
Yeah.
So if you get hot at the right time, you get in, you make noise in the playoffs. Nah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. And Colorado is so far buried that I'm sure they'd love to get anything for him.
Well, he probably wants
retired,
to get out.
And he wants to get the hell out of there, too.
I think if you give him a better defense than what he has in Colorado, which is pretty much anywhere, and you get him for
half. I think
the
four of us are a better back
and
line.
And you give him half a season.
It'd be
fun. That just brings in insane experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a problem with
it. You know what, Sam? I didn't like your idea for the first 20 seconds that I was living with it, and then after that I liked it. That's good. Those are where the best ideas come from. Okay, before we leave LAFC and talk about the good game from last Wednesday, we did see David Akam. And my first observation was I was frustrated with Robinho throughout the game. It's him. He's a wide receiver who's great at getting open and does not have good hands.
That's a great analogy.
And he could develop that, but that heavy touch was a killer.
Well, I think even
in this
worse,
match.
What was his decision-making?
Yes.
Like, he would not pass when he should have passed.
Yes.
He would take guys on rather than passing it, or vice versa.
Or he'd be wide open and not take a bleeping shot.
Right, yeah.
You see his inexperience, and you also see – every game you see his inexperience, and you see his athletic gifts. But when Akam came on and you saw he wasn't on the field that long before he was breaking down three or four guys and getting a shot on goal, and you go, that's why he's here. And he has to play over Rubinho now,
100%.
Right?
There's no
and he's coming in with something to prove.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So, you're right. Rubinho was a head-scratcher. He has some good skill, and he can make some absolutely gorgeous plays. But then you get into the final third, which he needs to be the most effective, and he just freezes. Or not freeze, but make terrible decisions, and you're like, why? Just, there's no...
We had some great counters in that game that went to die right at his feet, and that was very frustrating.
Well, here's the thing with him is that he has a great ability with the ball at his feet. Uh-huh. He has good pace when the ball's not at
absolutely.
His feet. But when you put the two together, he doesn't know what to do. He's afraid to take guys on one-on-one. He waits until there's three guys around him, and then he doesn't know what to do. He freezes up. He locks up. Akam, and this is why I would assume Porter brought him in, Akam's not afraid of that.
No.
He'll take guys on, and we saw it in the, 20 minutes he played? I mean, he actually had a pretty good rip on goal and ended up getting blocked by a defender. But, you know, he took guys on. That's what I think is going to help the Crew is now back lines can't – they can't just focus on Higuain and Zardes and Santos. They're going to have to go, okay, if Akam burns that outside back, me as a center back, I'm going to have to push out, which then creates space for players to get open. Rather than it just going, hey, I know I can take your Rubinho on. He's not going to take me on anyway. That's just a 1v1 for a defender. I'll take that all day, right? But Akam's going to bring a new layer to us, and it's going to be exciting. So I think Rubinho is going to get used to being on the bench, quite frankly.
That was the great thing about watching that game, real quick. Sorry, Sam. Is that even though it was not the result we wanted, I see that they've taken steps to improve this team in ways that you don't have to look hard to find. And that, to me, when I walked away from the TV after that second goal, I thought about it. I go, you know, I like this, though. I like what they're addressing needs in a very direct way. And this team is already better.
They're right now, they are really, 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 really missing Milton Valenzuela and Harrison Offal. And I know a lot of people, I know Harrison is not at his best, and he's been in a decline, but even so, teams still accounted for him. And the problem that you have now, I love Hector, he scored on Wednesday, that was great. But neither Hector, nor Francis, nor Josh Williams will pull up and run in the same pace that Valenzuela or Harrison Offal did. Neither one of them does. And that creates a problem because now you don't really have wingbacks. You have a left back and a right back.
Right.
They're not wingers anymore.
Well, Williams did a yeoman's effort, though, getting forward.
He tried.
And it was so weird
probably
seeing
like the
him do that.
Yeah, he hasn't done that since, like, 2014 or whatever, when he was a right back with the Crew. I think, like, to your point, Sam, it's, and I know a lot of people are really critical about Harrison and his defensive play, but you talk about Caleb Porter and how he wants to play and possess the ball, and you look at the end of the year, whenever they do those end of the year anonymous player surveys, who is the hardest person to play against? Harrison Offal is always up there because he brings you something that you are not used to seeing in that position, and you've got to play, you know, playing around that completely differently than you have with anyone else in MLS. So yeah, that is a huge, huge gap to fill. But I am really intrigued by I like the Akam move a lot. This is a guy who had as many double-digit goal seasons as Giassi Zardes in half as many starts. And as opposed to Zardes, when he was, you know, he had the 14 goal season, and then, you know, 4, 6, 2 right before he came to Crew, and then jumps out for 19. Akam was like 10 goals, 9 goals, 11 goals, and then goes to Philadelphia last year, which is a, you know, complete dumpster fire. Uh-huh. Of course he doesn't get anything. But he had 4 goals, you know, and granted 2 against Crew this year. But that's the other thing that I like about that acquisition is we don't have to face him, because I felt like he always, always, always had our number, especially in Chicago. I think he scored a couple in, like, you know, U.S. Open Cup. He would always seem to beat us. So just, if anything, to just take him away from burning us anymore, I think that's a good move. And when you also look at it as kind of a trade for Justin Meerham, and I don't know if we want to touch on that a little bit. I mean, I think he's brings a lot more upside, than Justin did. And I want Justin to do well and succeed in Atlanta in every game except against us. And I want him to prove that is a bad trade. But it just seemed like Caleb Porter wasn't, and maybe shouldn't have had to wait for Justin to refine himself.
It, It didn't, because you always watch guys when they're wearing your kit differently than you do when they're on the other team. Mm-hmm. You just do. At least I do. It's sure. hard to, yeah. there's a lot of people to pay attention to. When you see a com wearing our uniform in 29, you go, oh, okay. It took me 5 minutes to get why this was such an important acquisition. So going forward, I like the look. We've gotten some tough games behind us. LA Galaxy last Wednesday. Was it just me? Oh, by the way, a quick question. I don't know if anybody can answer this, but Zach, as we mentioned, did not play. Is this a serious injury? Was this sort of a maintenance thing? Or
it's supposed to be a minor foot injury, okay. but I'm wondering if he plays for the Crew anymore.
Yeah, they said it was swollen, and it just the swelling didn't go down in right. time for the game.
So you kind of buried the lead there, Mike.
I think he'll play the I think he'll play the away games.
Really?
I think so.
So he's not going to play at home anymore.
Well, the next home game is June 1.
Oh. The next home game is June 1, but what's he going to do? Yeah, there's no games right now in England, and they can't loan him out to the league that's playing. So why leave now?
Does City have any influence over this at all? Can they call Don Garber?
No.
Can you make sure, mate? Play?
No. Yeah. We've completely dismissed the idea that there is a faint possibility that they reach some sort of agreement with City and keep him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know,
that would be awesome. But my thought is, doesn't camp open up soon, June 1 or something?
They have almost no time off, right? It's
right?
crazy.
I'm pretty sure, right? Because I think they announced the teams next Tuesday,
that's
next Monday.
Just wild.
And then
literally just ended.
Yeah, so I'm talking about international duty kicks in.
Okay.
For Gold
but
Cup.
But pretty soon, you know, they're going to be going on whatever tour they have planned.
Yeah, they'll take like 3 weeks off and then get back at it over
there. But he's not officially transferred until when? End of July, right?
July 1st,
July
I believe.
1st.
Oh, July 1st.
July 1st, yeah.
Why did I have July 31st in my head?
Because you're August is when the season starts, usually.
Yeah, it's really not that far away. 6 weeks.
Yeah, here's the thing. With Gold Cup coming up, he'll probably be gone in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Mm-hmm. So depending on the severity, I doubt he plays a home game again for Columbus.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's
the only thing I'm going to disagree on that is I think if he wasn't going to play any more home games for Columbus, the Crew would have made a bigger deal out of it than – like, I think they're going to make a big deal out of his last home game in Columbus.
Okay.
I think. I don't have any information.
Right, but I think maybe,
but I think that's a very big possibility.
Like, if this past one was supposed to be it.
Exactly. They would be a big deal with advertising and, come see Zach Steffen before he departs for Manchester City.
Well, maybe it's because they're holding out on maybe that they will get to loan him.
We don't know.
After the transfer.
I don't want to face this day. I don't want to face this day. Can we not talk about it anymore? Because it's really... it's upsetting. I'm going to miss him.
Hey, look, Brad Friedel's available.
Oh, yeah. There we go. All right, sorry. LA Galaxy, last Wednesday, is it just me, or was it bizarre how flat-footed LA Galaxy was throughout that game? And I think specifically to the Higuain goal, where it was obvious that the defender on Zardes thought that Zardes was going to get the ball and turn and run at him. And that didn't happen. Zardes played the perfect ball to Higuain. But that was indicative of the entire match, to my eyes, that LA Galaxy just sort of looked bewildered against a team that has had, I don't know if they watched any film, we've had a lot of trouble scoring. And they seemed confused by what we were doing. Am I missing something here?
I think LA came into the game just expecting to roll us over because we were on, a five-game losing streak at that point. And remember, they're Ibra. They have Dos Santos. They have all these guys that are bosses. Now, granted, their defense is better than last year, but I still don't think
I was not impressed.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, on paper. Because they've spent some money. Because last year they were a real dumpster fire, use Bart's term. But – I think they just kind of came in, we're fine. Okay. We're L.A. We're on fire. We don't lose, right? And the Crew's defense made Ibra look very average. I mean, he didn't get a whole lot of opportunities. And
what did we do? Because when he got his looks, you could see, obviously that's Ibrahimovic. Uh-huh. But we did a great job, obviously, keeping him off the sheet. Well, what did we do to accomplish that?
I think the biggest thing was it seemed like somebody was around him all the time. Mm-hmm. They were his shadow, whether it was Mensah, majority of the time, it seemed like, but somebody was always around him. And he's the type of guy that when he gets really pissed off, he can play his best, but you can also maybe even knock him off his game a little bit. And, I mean, you saw he was getting frustrated, mm-hmm. and especially in that play, he's trying to get a cheap PK when he took the spill with Stefan.
Yeah,
so, not I mean, getting the respect he thinks he deserves for being the Zlatan.
Well, it is Major League Zlatan, from what yeah. I understand. That's what he told me anyway. He said it's MLZ.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
No, I totally just made that up. But okay, it's not, good. It's something
I kind of believed it.
Well, because yeah. it's definitely something yeah. he would say, let's be honest. But, yeah, I mean, the crew did a good job of constantly making sure he didn't get open looks. The one time he did, he clanked it off the crossbar.
Yes, he did. And he doesn't need a lot of space.
No. He had a header that could have been a goal. But Zach dove and palmed it out.
That was a good header,
and that was a great save.
So we saw the crew play a great game against him, and we also saw what happens when you give him an oomph of space, just a snippet of time. What he can do, and that's fun to watch as long as they don't score against you. You go, oh, okay, I understand again why this guy's great, but we did a good job.
Absolutely. I know I'm not breaking any ground here, but every game I watch of him and have watched of him, I'm still boggled how a guy who's 6'5",
he's so
you know,
big.
210, 215 so pounds, can do the stuff that he does with his feet.
Yes.
With the ball at his feet.
Oh, yeah.
That's... It's really, it's mind-boggling.
Too. He's a freakish athlete.
Which is, I mean, which is, you know, 50 in soccer years. I to be able to do that, and yeah, I think it says something about MLS, but look, Zlatan, he could have still been, maybe not for 90 minutes in the Premier League, but if he wanted to and didn't want to necessarily just kind of ride out into the sunset and have, you know, be in LA and have that lifestyle and take out full page ads in the LA Times that just say you're welcome, Zlatan.
That's one of the best things
he's
ever.
He gets to do it.
It is fun. It is fun.
And it's great to have that personality as opposed to, you know, Rooney, who they're, you know, players of similar notoriety. But, you know, Rooney, where he's in the news because he's drunk and, you know, getting into bar fights or whatever. Zlatan's just to follow and see all the quirky shit that comes out of his mouth and just how comic book arrogant he is. I it's fun. I love it.
Well, the difference between him and Rooney is, you know, Zlatan is like, come and see my garden.
Yeah.
Come have a glass of wine. And Rooney is like, let's do shots and then let's headbutt each other.
Yeah.
And the league, you know, I think even though they're on teams that we don't like, you know, it's fun to have that personality around.
As you watch Zlatan on Wednesday, he's kind of looking around, and was like, wow, they do not want to come see Zlatan.
Yeah.
This is nice field, though. I play here.
This is his field now.
It was obviously the best effort of the season for Columbus Crew with a 3-1 win over LA Galaxy.
How great was it to see Higuain score?
Oh,
I mean,
it was awesome.
The bench players that were warming up lost their mind because it happened right in front of them.
Yeah.
Everybody got so excited. The fans, I mean, it was great because that's what we need. We need him to score mm-hmm. in the run of play. And it was great to see him do that. And you could just kind of see the whole team just get joyous about it, which was really phenomenal.
And kudos to Pepe, by the way, for breaking the all-time assist record as well in this match. It was a Pepe kind of night, and that's usually a great night. Mm-hmm. For Columbus Crew, and also Hector Jimenez getting on the sheet for the first time in 4 years. That was fun for him as well. It was a great night. And I think that even though there was a game in between that didn't turn out very well, you take a lot away from beating a quality opponent. And, you know, better days are ahead. I really believe that. We'll talk about the days ahead coming up here on the Massive Report as we got to go up to Minnesota. God knows what the weather's going to be like up there. They've had a little bit of everything this spring. We'll talk about it, and we'll get to more here on the Massive Report, as we are every Monday at Hendox here on High Street. We're back in a moment. We are back at Hendox on High Street for the Massive Report. We usually do three segments, but the first segment was really two segments in one, because we had so much to get to. I feel like we did a good job of covering everything that we needed to cover, but it was two segments in one. I saw the banner. I saw the banner behind the goal, Bart. the GC bag, and I got really excited. Yeah. Tell us about your bag, Bart.
That's right. Segment two, I guess this time, is brought to you
by the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Supporters Group / Lifestyle Brand. Follow GCG Bag on Twitter and Facebook at GCGBag96. For this week's, and there you'll be able to catch this week's Drunken Cruiser post-game show exclusively on GCG Bag TV. It's got the most salient, thoughtful, slurred fan analysis that you can get from immediately after the game. This week's is another must-watch. Again, you can just find it on the social media timelines. The Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls, champions of Mega Tailgate, definitely not failing, and official sponsors of the Massive Report. It's a thing.
Thank you, Bart. Now, we have a friend in need, Sam, and we're here for them as well. Tell us what we need to know.
Absolutely. As you may have listened back in our pre-Houston podcast, our Australian friend via Houston fan via Living in Columbus, Greg Benson, and also formerly of this show and of Cards Against Insanity, unfortunately, over last weekend, his father passed away in Australia.
Okay.
Because we are a community and because we are a family, we take care of each other. So on Friday night, this coming Friday, which would be the 17th, I believe so.
Yeah, I'm going to do the math. Yes, it's the 17th. Right.
Friday the 17th here at Hendox,
okay,
starting at 7 p.m., there will be a fundraiser to send Greg to attend his dad's funeral in Australia.
If we can't make it, what can we do?
There will be a GoFundMe page. We, as soon as we get information on that, we will get that. But there will be raffles. There will be giveaways. There will be specials on liquor and beer, and the proceeds will go to send Greg to attend his dad's funeral. So Friday, here at Hendox, we are a family, and we take care of each other. So be here.
Okay, and if now, you can't be here, go to massreport.com. There will be a link for a GoFundMe.
Well, not yet. As soon as we
get the information.
Yeah, we more than likely we'll put it on social.
Okay,
As soon as we get the information,
we'll get it out there. So just look for it. When you see it, help however you can. I just met him that particular night, and he's obviously, I can see why you guys are so warm to him. And Australia is a long trip, and it's very expensive. And we want him to get home to pay his respects to his father. So anything we can do to help, and the easiest way to help is just to be here at Hendox on Friday, right?
Absolutely.
Where we are right now.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Thank you for getting that in. Real quick, pick your Champions League winner. Liverpool or Spurs?
Liverpool.
Can they both lose? Please.
I'm a Man U fan, and I'm even going Liverpool. But that's because my bias is to Mo Salah. But that's
besides the point. No, I mean, I'm going to go with Liverpool, too, because I look at it as this way. It's like Liverpool has already – I'm a Newcastle fan. Liverpool has already won something, and not that Tottenham hasn't won more than Newcastle has, but they've never, you know, won the Champions League or anything like that. So to be able to still, like, have that as something, not that Newcastle can necessarily lord over them, but I'd rather not let them have that, not let Tottenham fans, specifically a couple of the Tottenham fans in my life, have that. So I'd rather just give the Liverpool folks who've already had some wins and that stuff, and it doesn't make that much difference.
Liverpool coming back from the dead in leg two, though.
That was wild.
I don't care what you feel about Liverpool. That's insane.
That corner kick was terrific. The quick,
yeah.
Oh, we're not really going to kick. Oh, here we go, and it's a goal. Mm-hmm.
And you have to feel the heartbreak for them losing the league by one single point after having only one loss the entire year.
Yeah, well, it was that kind of year. And then Spurs, you know, they needed that extra goal in the 6 minute of stoppage time to pull through an away goal. So, and to see the EPL both slots in the Champions League final and doing very well in Europa, that's a few years ago, people were scratching their heads going, what's wrong with this league? They're not keeping up with anyone, you know, and it's certainly different now.
It is, and where you could look at if you just looked at the EPL season and you looked at the standings this year, it looks like Serie A or, you know, Ligue 1, because you just have Liverpool and Man City up there running away with it and no one else, you know, even within 5-6 wins of getting anywhere close, so it's pretty wild. The other thing I just remembered, too, is Jurgen Klopp was one of the first international folks to take a stand on Save
That's
the Crew
true.
By holding a Save the Crew scarf.
All right.
So I've
that
now
is a great
more,
picture.
Much more firmly in the Liverpool
That's
corner.
All right. One. You know, you got me there, too. I mean, I'm very much neutral on this one. But if that tips the scales, so be it.
Well, as a lifelong Scunthorpe United fan, third division, I don't care, really.
All right.
I'm gonna
Fair enough.
If I'm a betting man, I'll go Liverpool.
All right. I'm going to watch it, though. It should be good. And let's pour one out for Brian McBride, his beloved Fulham. They have a bar in the stadium named after him. They are 1 year in the EPL, and then they are relegated. That is cruel.
They were America light for a few years there.
Seriously,
I mean, they were just pulling U.S. guys, MLS guys. Those are the good old days.
Yeah.
And now
they gone. Did they have financial problems or one of those where it wasn't really, like, did they actually, like a Sunderland issue where it was a complete house of cards?
Well, they didn't finish last, though. That was Huddersfield.
Yeah, it was something.
And, I mean, you run into a powerhouse like Newcastle in the last game of the season. What can you do?
There you go. All right. Well, Columbus Crew SC head to the West, sort of. They go to Minnesota United on Saturday night, 8 o'clock kickoff. And this is another team that's kind of a black hole for me. I don't really know a whole lot about them. They have a new stadium. God knows what the weather's going to do in the Twin Cities this time of year. It can be nice. It can be snowing. Until we get to June, we don't really know. What do we know about Minnesota United on the field, the starting 11 and so forth?
Well, I mean, they switched recently to a 4-3-3. Adrian Heath, I like him. I love him as a coach. You know, he's very fiery, very excitable. And they made some moves recently. They traded their captain over to Chicago. But, you know, in the offseason, they got Ike Opara. They got Osvaldo Alonso. They were trying to build the spine of their team. I mean, you get a holding mid like Ozzy, and then you get Ike Opara. They're trying to do it the right way, so I can appreciate that. They also have Angelo Rodriguez, who is just – he reminds me a lot of, if you guys remember, Emilio Renteria when he played for the Crew, just a bull in the china shop type of guy. So, I mean, they have some talent, and they're still kind of figuring it out over there, but I think they're starting to come around. I mean, now they – the last game they won was against DC United about 2 weeks ago. It was a 1-0 win, actually, on ESPN. It was actually a pretty entertaining game. But so if I'm the Crew, I'm thinking, given the gauntlet we just went through with those three games where you're playing Rooney, Ibra, and Carlos Villa and the rest of those guys at LAFC, to be able to go and play Minnesota, that's a much better opportunity to right our ship. Even though it's on the road in a brand new stadium and that whole thing.
Definitely one of like the more kind of traditional expansion teams, not as we've kind of seen in the past few years, LAFC, NYCFC, even when they came in, Atlanta United, that, you know, come in and are splashing this money and making, you know, big impacts and differences immediately out of the gate. Minnesota is that team, you know, that came up, had a lot of success in NASL, worked their way up and kind of, you know, almost earned promotion into MLS, and then they've been just kind of taking it since. But it does, you know, they've improved this year. They're above the Mendoza line right now in the Western Conference, we'll see. But if anything, I think just, you know, to see what that new Allianz Arena or stadium or whatever they're calling it, it's still wild to me that you can build in Minnesota, you know, an outdoor stadium for a season that begins in March and goes at least now doesn't quite go to December if you make it all the way through the playoffs, but still goes in late fall and it's going to start getting cold.
Well, you know, here's the thing about the stadium. I mean, even their first game, I mean, the pitch was still really rough and it's still kind of figuring itself out because they had, you know, inches and inches of snow in the field just within 2 days of their first game there. And if you saw on the sidelines, they had plowed the snow off. I mean, there was like mountains of it at the stadium. and the sod was still, you know, still digging itself
in.
You
can't grow grass in January in the Twin Cities. You can't do it.
Yeah. So, you know, and then their leading goal scorer, Darwin Quintero, you know, four of his five goals have been through PKs.
Yeah.
So, and he's been on a cold streak. The team as a whole has been on a cold streak, not scoring very consistently. Who does that sound like, by the way? Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully this isn't a nil-nil draw, but I really think, you know, with Akam, who I'm thinking would have to start.
I would agree. Mm-hmm.
And with Guzman starting and Higuain back into the starting lineup, I have to think this is as good of an opportunity as there is for Columbus Crew to get a result on the road and hopefully build some momentum. Because then after that, you go to Colorado, which is just
a
dump. I mean, they are awful. So beast. We could go in 2 weeks. We could get 6 points after this really rough patch of the season. This is exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, and they need to. I mean, with they're not must wins. Crew's still above the line right now, but they're getting so many games in here, and the schedule's so compressed. But Crew, especially with how front loaded their schedule is and how front loaded their home schedule is, you need to make up some of this ground on the road. I think it's going to be interesting too. Guzman, whether he's in for Artur, I think regardless, that addition, that injection of competition for those central defending positions, because Artur is a guy who really kind of forced his way in a couple years ago, but it seems like his development has sort of hit a plateau. And I think that's the other added bonus of the Guzman move is, can that push Artur to, hit that next level, give him that, light that fire, because I still think he has so much potential. He's still so young, and when he's on his game, I mean, he's so talented. So, the idea that, hey, Artur, look, you don't have to play right now. We've got somebody who's ready, who's capable. You need to earn that. And if you can get him, fighting to get in that starting 11 and have, a hard decision to make for Caleb Porter, I think the more difficult decisions he has to make with the starting 11, the better the prospects for the Crew.
I also think if the Crew can come away with 4 points over these next 2 weeks, mm-hmm. that's a win and a draw. That would be huge. Yeah. 4 points on the road in MLS is a big deal.
Yeah.
Obviously, 6 would be ideal, and I also think it's realistic. But 4, you'd be happy with that, especially with the way things have been.
Absolutely. That's 8 o'clock on Saturday night at Minnesota. We won't be there for another 2 years. Maybe next time they'll schedule us in July when it'll be 70 degrees.
And it's actually nice in Minnesota in the summer. There's 3 months of the year.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The Twin Cities are gorgeous, and I think it's going to be a great trip. Give me your picks on the scores, guys.
Let me think here. All right. If I'm a betting person,
okay,
I'm going to go with 1-1 in Minnesota. Draw.
Okay. Well, I'm a little disappointed in that.
I mean,
not with you.
That's
I hope it doesn't turn out quite that way, because I'm more optimistic on this one.
That's a betting mic.
Do you remember how our last game in Minnesota ended?
No.
It was 3-2.
Not good.
Wasn't it?
It was 1-0
in Minnesota. Yeah, that was 1-0.
It was 1-0 scored by...
I don't remember.
Who's now at FC Cincinnati. Now his name escaped me. I should have shut up.
Tommy Heinemann?
No. Not in Cincinnati.
I know.
Wait a minute. At Cincinnati?
Yeah. Kikutabane.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah.
It was a bullet from outside the box. Kikutabane. And
all right, Mike has one.
And there's our trivia question.
Okay. Is that how we're winning tickets?
Oh, that's right.
Game?
We don't have tickets until June 1st.
Don't. All right,
darn it.
Put that away for your next bar bet, Bart.
I'll go with it's between 3-1 and 2-1. Crew. I'm kind of.
I love Bart.
It's a little tough here. I'm gonna. Why the hell not? 3-1. I think David Akam gets on the board.
I hope so.
I think Jossie Zardes grabs him one, and I think. My boy, my ride or die since day one, Pedro Santos.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Yeah, right.
How do I follow that up?
Bart just got on the Santos bandwagon like 3 minutes ago, pretty sure.
How do I follow that up? Okay,
hey, wait,
so
can we do a bet each week? Can we do how long until Robinho scores a goal?
Ooh. Well, I don't think he's playing on Saturday at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play Saturday. Yeah.
He could come in as a sub.
Why?
Calm is fit. I don't see it happening.
It'll be interesting to see. But no, I'm going to go 2-1. I'm going to go since Bart wavered. Mm-hmm. We're going to let in a goal depending on who's playing.
All right. Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? I got us 4-1.
Yes, Brian.
Crazy. It is crazy, but I'm crazy. But I love these new additions. I think Akam scores twice. Zardes gets one. And Guzman scores on a banger.
Okay.
I like it.
4-1. Book it.
So are you saying that Guzman starts instead of Artur?
100%.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
How can we go any other way?
Yeah. He's got to.
Okay.
He has to start.
Chance. Porter brought him here for a reason.
Absolutely.
That's his boy.
That's his
he
man.
He loves himself some Guzman. So
yep.
He's starting.
4-1. Book it. Well, don't literally book it. You know, I'm just a crazy man ranting here in the corner at Hendox.
I mean, eventually gambling on MLS is going to be illegal here.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I wouldn't
good luck to any fool that does that.
I wouldn't recommend
yeah, seriously.
It.
Seriously.
I wouldn't recommend it. All right. So MassiveReport.com for all the great coverage. And you guys do such an awesome job with the photography.
You're
Can
too
I
kind.
Just say, it's top-notch. And
thank you.
If you want to look at Ibrahimovic photos, those were very entertaining.
We got plenty of those.
You got plenty of those. Are we done?
I think so.
Sam has to go. Done. Sam has to get up at 5.
Yeah.
So we better get out of here in the
it's
next
be
hour
morning.
Or two. Sam, shots at the bar?
No.
All right. Fair enough. Hendox will be disappointed.
What is this song?
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Oh,
Elton John?
Right. Oh.
The Lion King?
This is a perfect
Come
song
on
to exit.
And with that, we're out of here. Thanks to Wayne Property
you
Development
need, you
for
need
their
pump
sponsorship
that music in at the
of
end,
the
though.
Mass Report Podcast. Wayne Property I'm not paying Elton John for that. Wayne Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. For Mike, for Bart, for Sam, I'm Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD102. I will be back here next week in Hendox talking about a big crew 4-1 win over Minnesota United.
Yes.
I see it in the future.